This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome into the downtown studios of KMOX for a Graybar Sports Open Line St. Patrick's Day edition. I'm Jen Cease. Obviously, I'm not Matt Pauly. I am filling in for him a few times this week, along with, I think, Scott Warman, who's going to take a couple of days for Sports Open Line as well this week. So no Matt Pauly this week, but we've got you covered on all things sports here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX. Kyle Sixta and Daniel Hinkamp are here with me in studio on the controls. They're going to have a lot of work to do, helping me out to cover so many things that happen in sports. I feel like that actually is a thing we could say almost every weekend, almost every show with what's going on in the area. So great to have you with us for a full 2-hour show with a lot to get to. First of all, Cardinal baseball. In just 10 days, believe it or not, it's Major League Baseball opening day as the Cardinals will take on the Minnesota Twins home at Busch Stadium. Today's preseason 6-2 win over the Washington Nationals sealed the deal for Sonny Gray to get the start. We'll talk about that first up this hour after the very first break with Joe Roderick of Sports Hub's St. Louis STL. We'll talk with him about that, about thoughts on preseason, and maybe even also the Cardinal pitcher rotation. Got some new news on that, and he'll cover that with me first up. Then we'll switch over to Blues hockey. Blues had back-to-back wins this weekend, Saturday beating the Minnesota Wild 5-1, Sunday 7-2 over the Anaheim Ducks. Joining me around 6:30 p.m. will be John Kelly, TV voice of the St. Louis Blues, to talk about how literally just 3 weeks ago or so he was talking about the fact that, you know, it really wasn't looking good and the Blues may, I think I saw in an article, those pesky Blues may have started to turn it around just in time to potentially make a run. So we'll talk about what we think John Kelly thinks about all that at about 6:30. And then toward the latter part of this hour, 6:45, we'll talk City Soccer. Back-to-back wins for them also. They had their Saturday night first win at home. They are one of 7 undefeated teams in the MLS and the only club in the MLS yet to concede a goal this 2025 season. What we'll do there is we'll listen back to Lutz Pfannenstiel talk with Tom Ackerman on yesterday's Sports on a Sunday Morning. It was a great conversation and one definitely to play back for you to talk about not only that game, but his thoughts on the next coming game and the rest of the season. Then in the second hour, we'll flip over to men's college basketball. The SLU Billikens, seemingly their season over with their loss to Loyola in the A-10 quarterfinals. Tough loss to be sure, but the Bills have accepted an invitation to the NIT tournament with their first game tomorrow night. And on the other side of the river, the SIUE Cougars, the men's Ohio Valley Conference champs, will play their first ever game of the NCAA tournament on Thursday. We'll talk to Joe Pott about that, the Cougars, and then on the SLU side, we'll talk about with Stu Durango, sports writer covering SLU Billikens basketball. And last but not least up in the second hour, we're going to switch over to NWSL women's soccer. It's a league that just started their weekend. They kicked off 14 teams played in seven games to kick off the 2025 season. A lot of things happening in that league as well. That's a lot to cover this hour. We'll talk about that part with Justin Horniker, writer for the St. Louis Magazine. A lot to cover for this hour. Let's take a break and then we'll get right to it. Stay right here for more on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Jen C's here filling in for Matt Pauley for this Graybar Sports Open Line. You know, before today's spring training game, Cards manager Ollie Marmol talked about the possibility of a six-man pitching rotation.
Yeah, we're discussing it a decent amount this morning. We'll finish the conversation later on this afternoon. By end of day, we want real clarity as to what that looks like. So solid conversation with our staff this morning about it.
And that was before today's preseason 6-2 win over the Washington Nationals that sealed the deal for Sonny Gray to get the start. Cards president of baseball operations, John Mozeliak, saying, and I quote, "He's our dude." And in 10 days, the Major League Baseball opening day will be with the Cardinals as they take on Minnesota Twins at Busch Stadium, as we said, with Sonny Gray getting the start. And here with me to talk about it now, Joe Roderick of Sports Hub STL. Joe, thanks for joining me today to talk all things Cardinal baseball. A lot of stuff still seeming to be in flux.
Absolutely, Jen. Anytime. Yeah, there's still a couple question marks as far as some of the spots left for that opening day lineup and opening day roster.
Well, let me start with just a general question for you. For the St. Louis Cardinals, just six more preseason games left. And preseason, I feel like this is almost for any sport, you know, tells you less than you want it to tell you and sometimes doesn't mean what we think it means. But what can preseason for the Cardinals tell us now as they head into, you know, in just 10 days, the regular season?
I think there's still a few starting positions that are up for grabs. I think these final few days, these final six games, there is a huge spotlight on someone like Victor Scott or maybe a Nolan Gorman. And even though, you know, you're talking center field and second base, those two spots right there, I think it comes down to those two as far as you know, who's going to get that starting edge, because there's so many different guys that can move all over the place that you're, you know, that's kind of the focus right now. And Victor Scott has had a really, really good spring. I think he came in probably your third string center fielder. I think it was Michael Ciani's job to lose. And if Michael Ciani didn't perform, maybe you give it to Lars Nootbaar, and then Victor Scott was a distant third. But with the way that he's hit so far, and you know his speed, you know his defense is there, I think he has worked his way into that starting position that's kind of opened up a lot of other options for Ollie Marmol as far as what he wants to do in left field, at DH, at second base, because you know that now you have the Victor Scott, who is looks like a far different hitter than what we saw in St. Louis at the start of last year. Yeah, he wants that role. He looks like he's ready for major league action, where maybe he was kind of thrown into it really last minute. I mean, it really was last minute that he was kind of thrown into that starting role last year, and now maybe he's had a year to learn.
Let me ask you, too, about, I feel like the elephant in the room is the when it came out that Sonny Gray would be picked already for the start. I know that there are some fans that are a little worried about that. Preseason doesn't always indicate how your regular season will go. How does that hit with you, and how do you think that that's going to turn out on opening day?
I think from the beginning, the only way that Sonny Gray wasn't going to be the opening day starter is if he was hurt again. I was down there. I was down there the first week of full team practices, and I remember being in those media scrums with Ollie in the morning, and several members of the media were asking him before a game was even played, oh, is Sonny the opening day starter? And Ollie was just kind of like, guys, can we at least play some games first before you start asking me those questions? And I think it was always just assumed. You know, there's certain teams that you just know who the starting pitcher was. And given Sonny Gray's track record, given that he is he's the multi-time All-Star, they gave him the contract they did last year, he was brought to St. Louis to be the opening day starter. He was brought here to be the ace of the staff, to be that number one. So it was his as long as he's healthy. And it's not, yeah, the numbers aren't great. they really aren't. I think, you know, I wrote them out in our newsletter we sent out today, and actually typing them out, you know, I knew it was bad, but then you put it on, you actually, you know, when you type the numbers, you're like, ooh, yeah, that's not what you want out of your ace. And it's the walks, it's the home runs that really make you cringe. And, you know, he said it yesterday. I know he talked to the media after his start yesterday. He said, look, I've been doing this for a long time. I've had great preseasons and then was terrible. I've had terrible preseasons and I made an All-Star team. So he knows what he's doing. I really hope that he is able to flip that switch a week from Thursday.
Yeah, I was actually just going there to his quote to say, you know, he hasn't necessarily had a correlation between a rocky spring training and a great season, or vice versa necessarily. But to your point, he's a seasoned veteran. He knows what to do on opening day. It's not like it's his first show. And hopefully that the significance of the day and his being a veteran and knowing what that feels like, he's able to lead the team on the day.
Yeah, and I you know, just to even go, you know, to a different position, a different, I guess, mindset, I saw a quote from Tony Gwynn a few weeks ago. Back when he played, he talked about how he didn't want to come out hot in spring training. He didn't want to come out hitting 800 the first 3-4 weeks of spring training. It was about the last week of spring training. That's when he wanted to turn it on. That's when he wanted to be game ready, because baseball is such a game of streaks and such a game of ups and downs that you, and I know you want your pitchers to not have those streaks. I know that's more of a hitting thing, but still, you know, Sonny Gray has at least one more start. You know, he's working on stuff in the bullpens. You know, he's working on stuff behind the scenes. But you do trust that this is a guy that's in what is 15th season, that he knows what he's doing and he knows where he needs to be.
You know, also on Sunday, John Mozeliak talked with Tom Ackerman. I listened back to that conversation, and he spent quite a bit of time talking about mentorship in the bullpen. You know, that it's not just the coaches that need to coach the younger pitchers, but it's the veteran pitchers. And he specifically called out Phil Maton as potentially being one of those members in the bullpen. Do you see him taking on that kind of role and being able to have, you know, good influence over the younger guys and not only how they come into a game, but also how they keep themselves prepared throughout the season?
Oh, absolutely. And it could work both ways too. The bullpen is one, it's an aspect of baseball that's always fascinated me because you can have a guy come into the bullpen and for half a season be absolutely lights out, untouchable, and then somehow he shows up the next year and he gets lit up, has an ADRA, he gets released, he ends up on another team. It's fickle, really, when you look at it. But then you have a guy who'll go to a new team and somebody in that bullpen will just look at it and say, oh, this is how you grip your curveball? Have you ever thought of doing it this way? And next thing you know, the guy can't be touched. And that's something that those pitchers have no problem passing around and sharing those little tips with each other. And that is something that, yeah, Phil Maton has been in a lot of bullpens and he came from a winning team last year that maybe he teaches one of the young guys something. And who knows, maybe, you know, one of the young guys teaches him something and he's even better than what he was last year. I kind of said, you know, I said this last week, with Phil Maton, it's kind of a, you know, there's four scenarios. There's too good, there's too bad. If he's really good and the Cardinals are really good, then Phil Maton's leading you to the playoffs. If he's really good and the Cardinals are bad, then you trade him and you get something really good for him at the trade deadline. But if Maton's bad, either way, you just release him. It was $2 million. And, you know, that in today's baseball, that's not a whole lot of money to give it a try.
All right. Well, thanks, Joe, for joining me today on a Sports Open Line. Have a great the next six preseason games and go Cards on opening day, which is just 10 days from now.
I am so ready for spring training to be over with and for these games to matter. Absolutely, Jen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was Joe Roderick, Sports Hub STL, talking all things Cardinals. More to come. We'll switch over to hockey, Blues hockey, with back-to-back wins over the weekend. We'll talk about it with their TV voice, John Kelly, next on KMOX. Jen C's back with you on a Graybar Sports Open Line, filling in for Matt Pauly tonight. Joining me now, John Kelly, TV voice of St. Louis Blues hockey. John, thanks for joining me tonight.
My pleasure, Jen. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? I don't know if you remember this, but you and I met a very, very long time ago in your very beginning Colorado Avalanche days when you're the voice of Colorado Avalanche. I was a grad student at CU Denver, and we got a chance to meet. I will admit I did a little bit of babysitting for you back in the day. I hope I did a good job. It was always nice to come over and watch the game and watch your kids.
Yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? Yeah, time flies.
Who are now
I
adults.
I remember you. You did a great job. Our kids have turned out great, and
great.
In part because of you, Jen.
Yay! I always appreciated that, and when I see your posts now on Facebook, I'm like, oh my gosh, they're grown adults now. I feel even older. But now, of course, it was great when, you know, I was back in St. Louis, and to see you come back to St. Louis as the TV voice of St. Louis Blues. I listened back to an interview you did with Campbell V Sports. It was about 3 weeks ago, and you were talking about the first half of the season with the coaching change to Jim Montgomery, the spark, of course, that ignites when you typically have a coaching change, and then the Blues had a drop-off, and you really specifically talked about consistency, not only consistency game to game, but like period to period. Now 68 games in, only 14 to go with back-to-back wins over the weekend, I've just read a headline somewhere that said, don't count out those pesky Blues just yet.
Well, exactly. I mean, they're tied in points for the final wild card spot and only 6 points behind Minnesota. And they occupy the first wild card spot and they're really struggling right now. And the Blues have only 2 regulation losses in their last 13. So they found their consistency, Jen, and it really was almost like a light switch went on out of the Four Nations tournament break. And I don't know why. All I know is that they're playing well. Their top players are playing well. including Robert Thomas and Buchnevich and neighbors on the top line. But more than that, they have consistency on all four lines. And on defense, obviously, they played really well. And Binnington has lost only one of his starts in the last seven. Obviously, they missed Parayko. But, you know, they're staying with the same lineup every night. And why change if it's not broken? So it's really fun to see. And, again, I don't know why it took so long to click in. Probably a lot of factors, a lot of new players, and obviously the coaching situation. But I know Blues fans are happy that it has turned around, and this is a lot of fun right now to watch this team.
Yeah, for sure. And it was also fun. I saw a snippet that the Blues posted. Braden Schenn honored before the game Sunday for being the 16th player in Blues history to play in 1,000 games. That makes me tired even thinking about that. And he had goals on Saturday and Sunday. So one of those individual players that, you know, has always been a performer, but is really stepping it up now as well.
Yeah, in last night's game, and again, as you said, they honored him in a great pregame ceremony, just typify what Braden Schenn is all about. He scores the goal 41 seconds in, and then later in the period, tough defenseman Jacob Trouba hits Kyrou from behind. You know, a bit of a head shot. It wasn't called a penalty, but certainly a tough hit. And what does Schenn do? He fights Trouba, who's a bigger guy. I mean, Trouba goes 6'3", 212, so Braden gave up some size, and that's what Braden's done his entire career. He sticks up for his team. He leads by example, and he just played a typical Braden Schenn game on a night that he was honored. So it's great to see him scoring and leading his line with Holloway, and Kyrou has been probably the Blues' most consistent line, I would say, all season long, especially in the last couple of months. So that's great to see that even at his age, I think he's 33 now, the old guy still has a lot of fire in his belly, and he's leading in the right way.
Right, and a hat trick for him on Sunday. So it's not like that hit bothered him too much, or it did exactly what it needed and lit a fire.
Yeah, Kyrou had the hat trick Saturday, and then he had three assists on Sunday.
Oh, right, right. I had it the other way around. Right, three assists on Sunday. He was busy all weekend.
He had, you know what, 6 points are 6 points in two games. It doesn't matter how you get them. But, yeah, he was fantastic, especially in Minnesota. His second goal was a beautiful wraparound goal. But, again, that line, they've been together now. I'd have to go back and look at my records. But, you know, this Holloway, Schenn, Kyrou line, for the most part, has played together now for at least 2 months, if not more. And they have great chemistry. And, you know, Schenn is such a good, versatile two-way center iceman, Jen. And both Holloway and Kyrou, as you know, have great speed. So, you know, if Schenn can distribute the puck and, you know, get it to those guys, they can do some damage. And that's what they've done, certainly, especially since they've been put together.
Yeah, you said Dylan Holloway in that interview a few weeks ago, you had talked about him. You said the sky's the limit for him. What makes it about Holloway somebody that you look at and just see nothing but stars for in the future?
Well, he has so many attributes. Number one, he's got great speed. And number two, he's got a great shot. So you combine those two things, you're going to score a lot of goals. He has 22 goals now. And I think that for sure he's got a shot at 30 goals this year, an outside shot. And I can see him being a consistent 30-goal scorer, maybe 40 down the road. It's only his second year in the NHL. I mean, he's still a young player. He's also a guy that is not afraid to get to the inside. He has good hockey sense and just has so many great characteristics. I could go on and on about Dylan Holloway, but the Blues certainly this summer with those offer sheets getting Holloway and Broberg, and the price was not very steep, as Blues fans know. This has been a home run for the Blues in so many senses, and it really accelerated their, not rebuild, but their retool. When you add a top six forward and a top four defenseman and don't lose a player off your roster, that's just win-win, and that's what has happened with Holloway and Broberg.
So, of course, looking to the next game, the league's number 16 Blues take on number 30 Nashville Predators tomorrow, Tuesday, March 18th. Puck drops at 7. What are your outlooks on that game? When I look at rankings and I look at any sport, really, and you take a top or higher ranking and you play a lower ranking, you also have to remind your higher ranking, don't take that for granted.
Well, yeah, obviously the Blues, like any team, you just can't win every game against teams that are below you in the standings just because they're below you. The Blues saw that in Pittsburgh on Thursday. They outplayed the Penguins, but lost the game. Binnington had an off night, and you know they couldn't get the 2 points. It's only the second meeting this year against the Predators. The Blues won the first game 7-4 back on December 27th, and now they're going to meet three times here in the next week or so. So we're going to see a lot of the Nashville Predators. It's a team that has played better lately, but they're not going to make the playoffs, and it's been a strange year. They added the likes of Jonathan Marchessault and Steven Stamkos in the offseason, and quite honestly, Jen, I thought going into this season, based on what they did last year, they were a playoff team. I thought they were a slam dunk to make the playoffs. But they added a lot of players, as I said, and for whatever reason, it hasn't worked. And I don't know why. You know, is it chemistry or, you know, those players are a bit older. They're not the fleetest of foot. But for whatever reason, it just hasn't clicked in Nashville. Obviously, Blues fans aren't too concerned about that. But hopefully the Blues can take advantage of that because, again, they have three games left against the Predators starting tomorrow night.
And momentum means everything. John, thanks for your time, and we look forward to hearing you on the call tomorrow.
All right, Jen, thanks for having me. I appreciate it. Great job.
You got it. That was John Kelly. He's the voice of the Blues on your TV broadcast. He'll be from Bridgestone Arena in Nashville tomorrow night. Puck drops at 7 p.m. Well, we got another segment to go. Time to talk some soccer. City Soccer undefeated with their first home win of the season over the weekend. We'll get to that next on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Edward. Right.
Get in there. Yes!
Baby! Oh, baby! Edward Lumen!
That was Joey Zanaboni and Dale Shilley on the winning goal call Saturday as City finally took points from the Seattle Sounders with their first win at home this season. I'm Jen Cease filling in for Matt Pauley. And just yesterday on Sports on a Sunday Morning, KMOX Sports Director Tom Ackerman had his weekly chat with Lutz Pfannenstiel, Sporting Director for St. Louis City SC. Let's listen back to their chat about the win, the goalkeeper situation, and preparation for Philadelphia Union.
St. Louis City SC beats Seattle 1-0. They have four consecutive clean sheets to start the season. We are joined by Sporting Director for St. Louis City SC, Lutz Pfannenstiel. It's always a pleasure, my friend, as I come to you from Jupiter, Florida, the spring training home of the Cardinals. How are things in St. Louis?
Yeah, it's good, you know, getting a home win finally, like second game at home, and I think especially against a team like Seattle, which was our bogey team so far, having played them four times, haven't picked up a point, getting that win was definitely a very important step forward.
Well, you continue to lock it down defensively. Before we talk about Lunt and Berkey, how about just overall the way that you are playing defensively and limiting opportunities and chances for other teams?
Really, really solid. I think the way we defend as a group, and defending is not just meaning the back five or the back three. I think it starts with the strikers who are closing down the spaces. I think that's overall really impressive so far the whole season. I think one or two shots on target, which is not much. Did Seattle really had a lot of clear-cut chances? No, they didn't. So it's really a big improvement when it comes to that, looking into the last years, actually, how we structure, how we organize our defensive lineup. And, you know, that's usually what wins you games. You don't need to always have that offensive firework and create 6-7 chances. If you're smart, you defend well, and you use the chances in the right moment. Or a set piece that really gives you the points. And as a group, Tom, we really defend well so far.
Yes, you have. And Lunt in goal for you, and Leuven with the goal, and City wins it 1-0. It was close there at the end, though. They call for a penalty shot, and then, oh, hold on a second. There's a handball. They went back and looked at it, and indeed, a handball, and it turns out to be a finish for City, 1-0. That was something. And then, you know, just overall, the fact that you had to make the change, my obvious question is, how is Berkey? What is the latest there with his hand?
Yeah, you know, it was in the morning, of course, a bit of a shock. So we had normal training session on Friday, and he made a save. He got the ball a bit awkward on his hand. Didn't really look like anything crazy. So we waited for Saturday morning and see how it went. And then we did the x-ray, and it's obviously it's a fracture, but it's nothing crazy. So we're not talking about an extremely long time here, but we will see a specialist tomorrow. And then we have to make that a last final decision. But then again, you know, it happens in football. Injuries are part of the game. And of course, if the captain, the best goalkeeper in the league, is out on a short notice, that could actually rattle a team. But then again, we have a good group. And as you saw, we believe in Ben Lund's quality. You know, he's an experienced goalkeeper. He's around for a long time. He works really well together with Roman. And really, all the compliments from myself, being a former goalkeeper, very solid, very confident performance. And keeping a clean sheet is always great in the first game of the season. So we are obviously looking forward for Roman to return. But in the meantime, there is a lot of belief and a lot of trust in Ben Lund, who had a good game and great preseason, by the way, as well. So absolutely no problems here.
And just a little bit more on Lunt. He and Roman are very close, aren't they? They're really good friends. Roman shot him a text in the morning just to give him a heads up, but it was the day of.
Yeah, Tom, we're all very close friends, as you know. But it's very important, I think, when it comes to this goalkeeper hierarchy. If we have two guys who are at the same level and they fight for the spot, you do not have this relationship. So I think here it's pretty much clear that Roman is our star player. Roman is our DP. Roman is an absolutely top goalkeeper. I would call it an international top goalkeeper. So for Ben, as a second choice, it's very tough because you're training every day, you work really hard, but then you need to be ready in this right moment. And I think a relationship them to build, where I think the basic situation, the starting situation is very clear. Roman is number one and Ben is number two. You need to have a special character to live actually in that role as the second choice, as the backup, and that only works out well if there is a good relationship between the number one and the number two. Having said that, you know, being a goalkeeper myself before, I was the worst number two in the world, because if you cannot accept that you being on the bench and the other guy is better, then you create a problem for yourself and for the team. And there we are really fortunate that with Birky Lund and also Olivares have a very, very clear structure where our goalkeeper coach Alex Langer does a fantastic job. And I think that pays off in the end of the day.
That's a really good point. What about in midfield? You had Akil Watts with Chris Durkin and Edward Leuven. If you could get into that a little bit and your change in formation.
That was, I think, a bit of a surprise for the fans, you know, see Akil on a kind of, I would call it, wide 10 position, more an offensive position. He normally plays as a wing-back or a full-back or as a six, but I think he worked out well because he's very athletic, he works hard, he got a few good runs behind their back three, and I think this whole combination with Durkin, which is a warrior, hard-tackling, hard-working guy, and obviously Edu, which scored a screamer, we haven't spoken about that, and he was a wonderful free kick, like, really beautiful. It was a different formation. I think it caught Seattle a bit by surprise because they didn't really know where Watts will show up during that game. And that's something really, really smartly done by the coaching staff to get a bit of a surprise in there as well.
Yeah, it was really something. Leuven has a lot of confidence. There's no question about that. And you're starting to see it now. Here we go again with this team. When they start to play well together, it is something to behold. And who could have anticipated giving up no goals? Let me ask an alternate question. Is there something that you would like to see this team do better right now? Is there something that is lacking early in the season?
You know, we don't really want to jinx that now because, as you see, obviously people coming into the stadium and they want to see, especially in America, high-scoring games. And people, of course, they love a 5-1 or a 5-2 more than a 1-0. But when it comes to the whole season, I think winning games like yesterday is very important. So right now, obviously, I don't want to change anything, but there is always room for improvement. Yeah, we also have to be honest, it was not the perfect game, you know, and it never is a perfect game. So can we be better with the ball? Can we create more chances? Of course we can. Can we have a different setup sometimes in a while to, I would say, to get a bit more behind the back four? Yes, we can do that as well. But if it's not necessary. It's nothing which has to be changed right now. I think you develop over the course of a season, or you develop over the course of the first half of the season. Right now, I think we should be happy what we get out of the team. We should be happy with the results. You know, I said in the start of the season, the first five games are tremendously difficult, playing against some top teams in the league. Also next week, because a special game in Philly. So where we are standing right now, I think it's pretty impressive having not conceded a goal in four games. Not many teams in MLS history have done that. So I think that is something Tomby can and we should build up on.
Absolutely. You know, there's a coach that I've talked to many times through the years who says, and it just happened this past season for him, that he won games. They found a way to win the football game and they walked off the field a winner. And he said, if people can have whatever narrative they want and talk about our team and shape it however they want us to do certain things, and I don't care. I will go out there and we're going to do it the way we do it and we're going to find ways to win. And that guy is Eli Drinkwitz, who was on the pitch delivering the match ball. I saw that you had a chance to exchange some words with him. He is something else. And the crowd really got into it, didn't they, that the Mizzou players and coach were there?
Yeah, it was really, really nice. You know, I never met him before, so we had a good talk yesterday. It was funny because he actually followed up what I did before in my life. So we had a good talk, and actually we agreed that I will come up there to Colombia once they start training and playing again to kind of shadow him a little bit to see actually how Mizzou is set up, how they prepare for a game, how they do play in a game. So it's something which I haven't seen before. And, you know, I'm always, even though I'm already have gray hair, I still feel young by heart. There's lots of things you can learn and pick up from other sports. So that's something I'm really looking forward to. Very interesting personality, very, very open-minded. Yeah, it was great to meet him, to be honest. I'm very surprised you didn't ask me about the game against Philly next week.
Yeah, I usually do. Give me a little preview of that.
Well, I mean, you know, top team, they're doing well. And Bradley Connell, their manager, it's a special game for us as well. It's a special game for him as well. We're really looking forward to play against Philly, to play against Bradley. That's one of the teams I have the closest ties to in general, where the sport director is something like my brother. We worked before together in Germany for many, many years. So I'm really looking forward to go to Philly next week.
That was Lutz Fanischiel talking with Tom Ackerman. He was not going to let Tom get away without talking about the Philadelphia Union. I don't know who's more excited to go, the team or Lutz Fanischiel, to not only see his friend Bradley Carnell, but as always a competitor to see if he can beat Bradley Carnell with the Philadelphia Union. Well, it's been a busy hour. Thanks to our earlier guest, Joe Roderick, with Sports Hub STL talking Cardinals baseball, and TV voice of the Blues, John Kelly, for his insight on the Blues' chance for a wild card this season. But we're only halfway through. More to come as we switch our focus in the second hour of Sports Open Line to college basketball and also the NWSL. More to come. Stay with us on hour number two of the Graybar Sports Open Line after the news right here on KMOX.